Yeah, you'll see that a lot at halftime lines too, and stuff like that, where the team's, either up or down by a point and they have a 1 point line. And you're telling people that, the point almost becomes insignificant because it can't end on a tie, right? And we've had this lecture with people in the chat. But
Yep,
as
we have.
far as as far as buying points, because I had someone ask the other day, they didn't offer a money line at minus one. Keep in mind, every book's different, whether you're on Bovada or whatever the hell else you're using, a credit line, or you're in Vegas itself. But sometimes on some of these books, it'll be a minus one, but they won't offer the money line. And we were talking about possibly even just buying the half a point. So that way you're basically sitting on a money line as long as it looks similar to what the money line everyone's getting. But we talk about buying points a lot. And this is something that our subs love to do. And we yell at them for it all the time. And they'll get on me because every once in a while I'll do it. But when I do it, it's normally because I'm scaling up or because I'm just going for a win. Like, I'm not betting long term like you guys are. Basically small increments consistently, firing consistently over time so that every cent matters. If I need a win in this game or if I really feel like something's going to happen, I'll do it. And Rob's seen it and it's wrong. And I'll tell everyone it's wrong. I'll do it one out of every maybe.
And I bitched at you since I met you.
Yeah, you bitch at me all the time. But it's like, we'll be sitting on a game where I'm like, I'm firing 4 grand or 10 grand on the Saints and they're 6.5. Like, I'm getting to plus 7. Like, I don't give a fuck what you tell me, Rob. I'm paying this 10 cents and or 20 cents and I'm getting to the plus 7. So, Rob, explain to people why buying points is a negative long-term strategy. And then if you'd ever do it, which I would bet the answer is no.
I would never buy a point. And I'll tell you several reasons why. So I tell guys this all the time. There's a reason your bookie lets you buy points. And it's not because he wants you to win games, right? He wants you to lay the extra juice because – now, granted, if you're a $20 bettor and you're laying an extra 10 cents juice for a half a point, right? You're paying like zero more for the bet.
Right.
But if you're laying $1,000 a game, that's an extra $100 on the bet. And over the long term course of the, your career, that's a lot of money. So, but for me personally, and I really want Preston's take on this too. For me personally, I know what my mathematical edge is. And if it's not there, I move on. Like, I don't need to force it. I don't, like you said, you want to get the win. I don't really give a fuck about the win. If I don't have my edge, I'm not playing it.
Right. And yes. My situations, just to be clear, are normally when I'm like 0-4 for the day. And I'm sitting there going, fuck it, dude. It's like I lost a bunch of bets and I'm like, I don't care.
You're at a bar. It's fucking midnight. Yeah, we're chasing.
Listen, I've never claimed to be a handicapper. I am a gambler. I am very good at it. I'm very good at picking winners. I think I've proven it through a three-sport cycle now. But do as I say, not as I do. Listen to these guys on that. Preston?
No, yeah, there's a reason. So, like, even, I don't know, I wasn't betting regularly, but, like, 10 to 15 years ago, you only had to pay minus 120 to buy from, say, plus 3.5, plus 3 to plus 3.5 or plus 2.5 up to plus 3 if you're betting a dog. And books now will charge you at least minus 125, sometimes minus 130. So there's a reason for that. If you can buy to a 3 in football or off of a 3 for only 10 cents, it's actually plus EV or profitable to do that. But no one really lets you do that anymore. There's a few books in Vegas, and I'm not sure about even offshore anymore, that'll let you buy to a 7 or off of a 7 for 10 cents for a straight minus 120, which is also slightly profitable. But buying any other number in football isn't, and buying in basketball, period, isn't. So it's generally never done because once people were buying off and on threes and sevens and it was actually ahead mathematically, the books figured that out. They changed it and now nobody really can anymore. So at this point, buying a 3 for 20 cents is really bad. Buying even for 10 cents from 5.5 to plus 6, that's really bad. So I don't even buy, I'll generally, if I do anything, I'll play like probably 3 or 4 teasers a year in college football or NFL, just that I think have value, that the numbers are short or whatever, and they're also crossing the key numbers like 3 and 7 at the same time. So there's some certain spots where I'll buy points in the sense of a teaser, but never actually like straight plays buying a half or a full point.
Right, and I think the lay way to just explain it to someone is, if you feel like you need to lay an extra 10 cents, 20 cents, which when we say 10 cents, what we're saying is like 10%, right? So if you're doing a $100 bet, you're usually laying 110 on that. So an extra 10 cents would be laying 120, right? So they call that 10 cents in the gambling world. But if you feel like you need that extra half point, you're probably making a bet that you're not that confident in. That's the bottom line. Like, if you think it's going to come that close to the number that you're going to need it, then you probably shouldn't be making the bet. And you hear Preston and Rob both saying, you know, on totals, Preston likes to see 3 or 4 points different. You know, he doesn't, if he's got something where it's a half a point off his number, you're just not going to play it, Preston.
Right. Especially like in football, like if you're betting, or I am personally betting +6.5 because I think the team, it should be closer or under a 4, right? So in football, if I can get a 2, 2.5 point advantage or a 3 point advantage in betting +6.5, I'm going to be doing that blind. I would never think, it might land 7. I'm going to pay an extra 15 cents to get +7 right, because I already can see my +6.5 has a great edge. It's going to be profitable long term. There is, I guess, technically, if you can, so for example, on a 7, if you can get a 7 for 10 cents, I know some books do it, buying from +6.5 to +7 for -120, if you think, you know, the number should be 3.7, right? Like, that's actually still profitable. But it's you know, it's rare instances where people can find books that even allow you to do it for 10 cents anymore. But
yeah. You know, Preston, you make a good point there, is that guys need to know, if you're going to buy a point successfully, you have to know what the point is worth. Meaning, are you going to pay 10 cents for it or 20 cents for it? You have to know what the point's worth. And the other part you need to know is, how much does it increase your EV? So if you don't understand that you think the spread is 6.5, so you're going to buy up a half a point, then you're just firing money for a half a point, and you don't even know what it should cost or what the spread should be, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You think of it like, I'll just explain one more thing and then we can get on. I know we have some other topics to discuss, but I like to explain it, to kind of dumb it down, as people generally recognize or know what a bell curve is. And on that bell curve, when we're calculating our edge, right, we're going to see when a dog is +6.5 and our line is 3.7, that they're going to be covering 6.5, like 55.5% of the time. They're going to be, you know, losing whatever that is, 44.5% of the time. But there's going to be actual time that if you were to buy to +7, that there's going to be a big portion of that bell curve, right? Say like 7% of the time where you're going to push 7. So now just for 10 cents, you're winning 55.5%. You're pushing 7%. And, you know, say you're losing whatever that ends up being, like 37.5%. So there's going to be times, although I think 7% is a bad example because buying for 10 cents or 7% won't pay off. But there are going to be times where you can actually just kind of look and see based on the number you have, if you're able to calculate your edge and you do have a projected number. It's really actually, it's the process of getting to that, which can be a nice segue, but it actually analyzing that and then making the decisions, I think, is actually the easier part once you kind of learn, you know, how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. And before we get into the process, I want to cover one more thing that you kind of touched on. We talk about teasers, right? Like I don't know if I should say this publicly, but Rob, me and you will eventually, when we start doing more of these about our history, you know, running numbers with the old school Italian guys and, you know, pay phones and stuff like that. Like, we've been doing this since we were little kids, right, back in the day. And, you know, the joke used to always be they call them teasers for a reason, right? Like, they look beautiful. They look
intense.
Right. And there are times to do it. I mean, there'll be times when, you know, Preston, you said you'll do it a few times. You know, I'll do it more often. But then again, I do everything fucking wrong and backward. Doesn't matter. I'm still collecting large amounts of money on a monthly basis from it. But Rob, what's your take on teasers? What do you think of them? Any sport specific where you do it? Would you ever do it? What's your take?
Yeah, so I tease NFL, and I think there's a Preston can probably fucking tell me, it's slipping my mind, but there's a theory out there, if you and I could post it for you guys later, but so if you can tease three teams across key numbers, it's plus EV. To do that. And so most NFL weekends, most of my action is teaser action across these key numbers. So, you know, if I can tease down a 3, you know, to a 1 or whatever it is, depending on the teaser you're doing, you know, with a 7 down to a 2, or, you know, so if you can cross three key numbers in NFL, I think there is some arguments to be made about doing that. But I'm really interested in Preston's take on it.
Yeah, I think you're talking about, is it like long teaser theory?
Long, yeah. You got it.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. So when I mentioned doing it a few times in football, I generally only tease two teams, but especially college, where I feel like I have a bigger edge anyways.
Right. Well, you're for people that don't know, you are a god in the college football world. And you have what's it called, the cheetah guide that you do?
Yeah, I do a college football preview, for, you know, over the summer every year. And
it's like a Bible. Like
cheetah guide coming soon.
Yeah, coming soon.
It's a lot of detail. I posted in the chat. Some people have seen past years' copies now, and they're excited for it. But like, so
that's actually the only reason that Rob wanted to hear. He wanted to get the guy.
He side eyes
like, that fucking guy
up for the preview.
I don't blame. Like, who cares if we're paying him millions of dollars? We just need that.
I want the fucking cheetah guide.
I need his brain during college football. But go on, Cheetah. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. So if I have a favorite that in the market's 8 or 8.5, and I know I can tease it down for 6 points to -2, 2.5, I know that I'm obviously passing the 7's a key number, even 6-4 to an extent, and then 3. So that's just in its own self, in theory, a profitable teaser. Especially in college, most of the 6-point teasers are +100. You actually don't have to pay juice. And a lot of that is because totals are a lot higher, and so there's a little more variance in scoring. But the reason I'm doing that isn't because I just think there are teams I think are going to win, and there's two of them that weekend, so I'm going to do it. It's because that favorite.
That's how I do it, Preston.
Right. That's not why I would do it. Now, sometimes, like if you just want action or whatever, I think it's fine. If you want to do that, go for it, like bowl games or whatever. But the reason I'm teasing it in 8.5 down to 2.5 is passing the key numbers, but also because I think that favorite should be, you know, say at least a 10-point favorite, say like 10.1. I don't want to lay 8.5, or I would lay 8.5 as a smaller bet, but bringing it down to 2.5, I now feel like I have an 8-point advantage on a teaser.
Right, I was just going to ask you that. So you're still only going to tease plays where you feel like you have that built-in 1 to 3-point edge or whatever your number is, right? Like that, you kind of just answered it.
I'm never going to tease a team from 8 to 2 that I think should be a 7-point favorite. Like that just makes no sense because you're paying now a premium to get what's your perceived 5 points of value rather than, you know, what could end up being. It's like my teasers, and a lot of times I'm right with the movement. Like the game will close 10 and we're sitting there with -2. And now our teaser leg for +100 have 8 or 9 points of value on each side. So that's usually the only times I'm really firing on them.
So it would basically almost be the equivalent. I know most people are doing, you know, 6.2 team teasers and then 10.3 team teasers. You're basically trying to get yourself in situations which you're only going to really do it if you're looking at like a 10.2 team teaser, right? Which a book won't offer, but obviously based on your numbers and your metrics, you could say I'm getting 6 points and I have the line off 3.5. So I'm really getting a 9.5-point teaser. I don't need to win 3 games. I only need to win 2. So I'm going to bang that.
Yeah, that's a little extreme because it's rare. If I had a 3.5-point edge, I'd probably just bet it straight.
Would you bet at every angle?
1.5 or 2. Yeah, sometimes I've bet both. Sometimes I've used a play I really like to tease down with something else that that was close, right? Mm-hmm. But if I have a 3.5-point edge, I'm just going to be betting it straight. But if it's like 1.5 points, mm-hmm. and I want to bring it down through 2 key numbers where now that edge is right. worthwhile mathematically or whatever, then I'm going to do that.
And Rob, what about you? What's your take?
Well, I was going to say the key takeaway here is you have to understand what you're teasing through. So, you know, just teasing a number with another team or two other teams just to get less points or have to lay less points is not long-term profitable. But if you understand that you're going to cross key numbers cumulatively with your two or three plays, you know, that's your long-term teaser strategy.